The text for today is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Great Resurrection chapter, verses 22 through 23. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive, but each one in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward those who are Christ's at his coming. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. There's a railing in the lower level of Memorial Library, halfway between the set of stairs. It overlooks an 8-foot drop. One day in foolish pride, a couple of years ago, I took a running jump over that railing and landed with my right knee buckling in and my body collapsing to the ground. In immense pain, with ACL torn and hands clutching the carpet, I agonizingly whispered to my girlfriend who was studying in the corner, "Annie, help me." Little did she know, she helped the man she would someday marry. Obviously, I was not the only foolish one that day. In all seriousness, though, my action was full of arrogance. I wanted to prove to myself that I could handle anything. That is a picture of us all, according to our sinful nature. God gives us boundaries, but in pride, we cross them to our own detriment. God gave our grandfather Adam a boundary not to eat of a certain fruit, but in pride he cast himself and all his descendants into a fallen state, just one sin. Time and again, our inborn pride becomes evident. For like Adam, you and I presume to think that God has not given us all that life has to offer. Instead of trusting in the reliable God who creates and preserves all life, including our own, we so often become self-assured, worrisome, greedy. Crossing God's commanded boundaries is the highway to death. Going against conscience yields hell. If God had not intervened, you and I would be spiraling down to perdition. And mind you, the worst that this life can have in store for us is nothing compared to that place that is really reserved only for the devil and his angels. For there, God's life-giving presence is completely absent. Adam set the pattern. His deed merited death. Already we see the effects of sin in our own bodies and the bodies of others. Disease, the aches of aging, unhealthful wicked habits, and the list can go on. Make no mistake, the life sustainer withdraws his presence from that which is evil. At Christ's second coming, this will be fully accomplished. Yet despite that, Paul's words here predominate with cheer. He says, in Christ all will be made alive. That means Paul addresses you. You who trust completely in Jesus' works and rely on him. You who belong to Christ, the living Christ. You who know that when every single body rises out of the grave on Judgment Day, that you have a special claim. That Jesus is your Savior from death, as God has promised, and as you have believed. Paul is optimistic because Jesus, who is fully the life-giving God and fully human in one undivided person, has set a new pattern for men. Those who are in Christ Jesus will follow suit. Fallen men have the hope of a new creation in the living Lord. For he conquered death in his body when he paid for sin on the cross and rose triumphantly 3 days later on Easter morning. Jesus is the new Adam, the very one in whom Adam himself trusted for help from sin and death. We together with Adam confess the same Messiah promised throughout the Old Testament scriptures. In fact, Paul here alludes to the book of Leviticus when he mentions the firstfruits. The first fruits feast was one of many feasts prescribed by God for his Old Testament people. One Israelite feast we often speak of is the Passover. This was celebrated by Jesus and his disciples before he was betrayed into the hands of men. The Passover pointed to Jesus, the true Lamb of God, who would give his lifeblood to save all of Adam's fallen seed. And the Passover also pointed to the Lord's Supper that Jesus instituted. But we don't often mention that the next Sunday, the day after the Paschal Sabbath, was another feast celebrated by the Jewish people. On this first fruits day, the very first bundle of harvested grain was waved before the Lord by the priests on behalf of the people. The purpose of this was twofold. Firstly, it was a thank offering of the people, where they recognize God is foremost to be acknowledged as for his gift of sustenance. Secondly, we in the New Testament have the blessing of knowing, as St. Paul says in the letter to the Colossians, that these rituals and ceremonies were shadows of Christ. We stand in awe at the foresight of God, how he prophesied and planned that Jesus would rise on a Sunday. And this fulfillment of the Leviticus ceremony has the purpose to show that we too will be of the same harvest as that first fruits, when Christ gathers us wheat into his barn on the last day, the great and terrible day of the Lord. We too will enjoy paradise in immortal bodies, adoring the one and only divine body. Thus, before our Lord comes, we also have a twofold response to Christ's resurrection. Firstly, we remind one another that he is risen, building each other up in the one true Christian faith. Secondly, we thank God for bestowing life upon us. This life is greater and better than grain that spoils. No, this life is eternal life in the eternal God who has risen in his body. He has accomplished the plan of his humiliation, and now he is exalted in the flesh and given that name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, of those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Since your ruling king has fulfilled an organized plan, and since he will carry out an organized plan, it is proper that you and me, his subjects, also have a plan until he comes. Quite simply, live for him. Remember that the bodily ailments you go through now will soon be taken away when you enjoy your new body. Share the resurrection message with friends and family, and bring your offerings to his altar. God has accepted Christ on your behalf. For the sake of Jesus, God the Father declares the whole world innocent in his sight. Indeed, you already have begun your resurrection when you were baptized and you personally received that declaration of innocence. Live in your Christian baptism unto heaven. God has indeed given us all that life has to offer. Amen.